Knock, knock. Who's there? Nobody you know. That's right. Welcome to the Nobody You Know podcast. They might not be famous, but they certainly have a lot to say. Join Ash, Espy, Emmy, and Gus as they discuss everything from celebrity gossip, trends, pop culture, hit movies and TV shows, social media, and even some juicy personal life experiences and opinions. Now, let's get into today's episode.
Dear gentle reader,
listeners, welcome to a new episode of Nobody You Know. Grab yourself a hot cup of English tea, because today we are traveling back in time to the 19th century, to be precise. This is where the lords and the ladies are courting. The queen is present in all her glory. Lady Whistledown is somewhere hiding and thinking of her next gossip. The Duke of Hastings, he's on his third shot of whiskey. And our favorite family is doing their grand entrance, the Bridgertons. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we are talking about the phenomena, the popular show that's taken the world by storm, Bridgerton. So, what makes this show such a hype? Like, why are people so obsessed? Take it away, ladies and lord.
Let me just say that was an epic intro.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really good.
You're a new Lady Whistledown.
Lady Whistledown.
Protégé right here.
Could we just start by saying the voice of the Lady Whistledown?
Let's just start.
Yeah, so we were just discussing this prior to our podcast, and I kept feeling like her voice, Lady Whistledown's voice, sounded so familiar, and I just couldn't place it. And then I just chalked it off to being like, okay, she just has a great voice, and she sounds familiar because her voice is so great.
Right.
And then I was doing a little research, and I saw it's Miss Julie Andrews.
Famous Mary Poppins. She's in this, guys. I had no idea. Yeah. When you guys told me, I was in complete shock. I was like, wait a minute. How can I have missed it? It's incredible.
It's like an
full
iconic
circle.
Voice.
I know. It's a childhood favorite, and she's back. Yeah. I love it. I'm here
so
for it.
So we all learned that.
Such an exciting.
Yes. She's also a big part of the budget.
Oh, tell us about that.
You know, so because, for example, like in season one, they were no like super known artists. Mm-hmm. So like, even though the episodes cost around $7 million, mm-hmm.
Per
episode.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Like, I guess one of the big part of that comes from her because she's actually the well-known.
Right. Julie exactly. Andrews. Who doesn't know mm-hmm. Julie Andrews? Exactly.
It's crazy, yeah. Right? I mean, who knows how much she's actually getting paid for it, but. Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Well, because is she British? Isn't she?
I think she is, if I'm not mistaken.
Because I feel like, let's just say hypothetically she is. I feel like partially probably the reason why she wanted to put her money into it is it just kind of like a historical way of, you know, putting Britain in everyone's minds and thoughts, yeah. Or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe
I'm
yeah.
just
yeah.
No, it's
I'm
awesome.
Just guessing. Exactly.
I mean, her voice is so perfect because it's like you're reading it. I don't know.
Exactly. Like, she really transports you inside the story. I mean, it's storytelling.
Captivating.
Yes. Exactly.
Her voice sounds expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Rich. She
yeah.
sounds
yeah.
like
rich.
Yeah.
I like that.
Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She's not anyone.
Yeah. No, exactly. Bridgerton, for me, it's like the perfect balance between old and new. Old being the sense that it's 19th century, the attire, the etiquette, that's a given. A lot of it, of course, is old times. You know, the men have the final say and only say on things. But the twist to this is, the new is, how can you overlook or not notice pop music in an orchestra, classical? I mean, that was what really caught my attention after that first episode. I was like, wait a minute. This is interesting. And
wait, can I pause you and ask a question?
Because
did you even notice? Thought it was.
I did.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I did.
Yes.
It was in an instant. I knew
immediately,
it.
Yeah.
Immediately, I knew it.
The first song play is Thank You Next.
Thank You Next.
By Ariana Grande in episode one.
Did we notice it right away?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're Ari fans, so I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold your horses. Yeah. I'm in it. And that was one of the things that one of the actors, Ruth Gamel, Lady Violet, the mother of the Bridgerton clan, she said, you know, Bridgerton brings, bringing our world into theirs. So what that means, it's honestly our music, pop music in classical form, and a lot of it too, the new part of it is representation. That's a big, big thing in Bridgerton. Right. The LGBTQ and the nationalities in Bridgerton. You have a black queen, you have an Indian lady, you have a biracial duke. Like, it's yes. Very forward. It's right. Very up to date in that sense. So that was a very interesting point that Bridgerton brings out.
And like playing positions of power too. It's yes. Not like they're the servant or the like poor person
exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, seeing a duke being biracial, or like seeing the queen mm-hmm. being black queen. You know?
Yes,
even
exactly.
though in this is one of the points that they were also saying, the queen might have been actually Miss Race
in
history.
Yes.
But it's still, I don't think there is a way to get proof that she was biracial or not, but it's good that it's actually accurate, even though Bridgerton is not accurate at all
exactly.
historically.
Yeah, I think they would have done that regardless. Like, that was their, what do you call it? That was their mission from the beginning, was to have it be inclusive like that. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's such a sought after show to watch,
exactly.
because it is taking a time period that there are a lot of people who like that time period, but there's a lot of people who don't. Like, I'm one of the people who I'm obsessed with that time period. I'm obsessed with
and
reading about it, shows. I've watched all the BBC stories that are not like, don't have any contemporary things
and
like
that's
this.
Interesting.
And
that's
then
interesting.
You I've but like, what's so cool about this show is that it's like people who have never watched those shows before, have never liked them before. They like this one, and I think it's because it's relatable, even though it's taking place in another time period.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's like how we will live if we were in that age.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even though it's nothing even closely to that.
Right. I think that's what draws the viewers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, just let's going back to the soundtrack.
Absolutely.
We have Ariana Grande's right. Thank You Next,
yes.
episode one.
Mm-hmm.
We have Maroon 5, Girls Like You.
Okay.
We have Shawn Mendes, In My Blood. We have Billie Eilish, Bad Guy.
Yes, I
remember. We have Celeste Strange by featuring Hilary Smith. And we have Taylor Swift, Wildest Dreams.
Yeah.
And this is
yes.
season one only.
I know.
And I think it's so smart of them, too, because we all talked about how we instantly recognized it. But I think if you're maybe an older person, you might not necessarily recognize it, but subconsciously you
have
do.
Like, I've heard of this.
Yes.
Right. You might not even get even that far. Like, it might be so subconscious that, like, you don't even know that it's modern, but it makes you like it more
exactly.
because it is.
Exactly.
And it's so
exactly.
like, whoa, that's like such a crazy
and
thought.
I think that's what makes the ball scenes extra special.
Epic.
Because mm-hmm. the music and the choreography alone, it's just uh-huh. it just makes it such a neat experience for the viewer. It's like, oh, wow, I want to be a part of that, or I can relate to that, or, you know, whatever it is. But I think those ball scenes are just... it makes you want to get up and dance because they're legit.
Yes. I think the
I want to get invited to that party.
I feel like the choreography is even like, I feel like it has a lot of like historical accuracy, but at the same time, even the choreography, they like modernized it.
Yuck.
Like, there's a couple little things here and there where you're like, I'm pretty sure they didn't do that back then.
Yeah.
But like, it makes it like fresh and
it's
interesting.
It's so interesting. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the way they film it, because they could have easily done, you know, like a full room, you know, like a full shot of everything, and
then that's it.
Like a little bit of the feet, a little bit here, but it's so artsy how they do it's like you're dancing with them.
Exactly. The close-ups are insane,
the directors,
you know, when they bow and they, it's like perfect angle, mm-hmm. it gets really exciting.
Yeah.
I agree,
the DP is very good, the director of photography of this, it's amazing how they do it, how they can create this feeling of, again, modern without being modern.
Exactly.
Because it also goes into the production. It's not only the way they are portraying, the cameras also is going into that direction as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
It is so cool. And like the color saturation too. Like, that's something I noticed like within the first minute of season one and the first episode. Like, it's so color saturated. I don't know if that's the right word.
I wouldn't say color saturated, it's but it's where very interesting color grading. Mm-hmm. It makes it look natural, but still vibrant enough for you to like be attracted to every single color.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's and a little different.
And that's the modern side of it. It's honestly the perfect balance between old and new in every aspect of the game. It's amazing.
Yeah, like I think we could even compare a tiny bit to Downton Abbey with the color correction, but it's different because Downton Abbey is so natural. Like, it looks exactly like, okay, if you walked outside in that area, that's exactly what it would look like. Mm-hmm. But this is like exact, but taken up a notch. It's kind of like what you were saying.
Totally.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It is insane. Insane. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to go circle back to is the openly gay actors in Bridgerton season 1 and season 2, starting with the queen herself, Golda. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. Golda Rochevelle, a black biracial lesbian playing the first black queen of England. Who would have thought? She is such a powerful... First of all, she's such a powerful woman. She embodies that role. Like, just her eye twists and the way she, like, puckers her lips. It's like, yes! Like, so she is the queen. It's so good. I love how she embodies that role.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I didn't know she was an openly gay actor. So that was an interesting...
That's really cool.
Interesting information that I didn't know. Of course, this is not no surprise for a lot of our season 2 viewers. Anthony, also being a gay actor, but he plays a straight character and he embodies that role so well that one would never guess or question.
I didn't know until I watched one of those videos like about the real life of the actors.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And
either.
I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I didn't even. That guy is such a good actor that I never even crossed my mind. Because sometimes, even though it shouldn't be, like, if you are an actor and you are portraying a straight or gay guy, like, you shouldn't be able to see if they are not.
Exactly.
Right.
But when you are so good at acting that you don't even know what your personal life could look like, you know, that's
just about being a good actor. Throw on top of that the fact that, like, he had, like, this electric chemistry. With Simon Ashley.
It's incredible.
And so, and maybe, like, my thoughts on that were, like, maybe she's just so comfortable with him because she knew he wouldn't be, like, attracted to her in real life. I have no idea. Or maybe they just have incredible chemistry.
Right.
But, like,
Simon
I never would have guessed.
Playing Lady Kate in season 2.
Season 2.
Yes. I mean, it's incredible, in the chemistry. And it just shows the amount of time they've invested in their craft to make it. It just seamlessly. I mean, just beautiful work. No wonder they get nominated and get awarded the recognition that they get because they're just phenomenal in every way.
A little question. What this is a little bit tied in up both seasons. Which romance did you like more?
Season 2 or season 1?
Like,
for sure.
I love it. You didn't even think about it.
I'll tell you why in a second. You guys go.
Okay. For me, it's really hard to compare which one is my favorite. Season 1, I really like the relationship between Daphne and the Duke because Daphne reminds the Duke, you know, love is this and love is that. And she's a friendly reminder of, like, you shouldn't look at life like this or love like this or marriage like this. So Daphne's, like, you know, she's very sentimental. She's very emotional. And she teaches the Duke how to be also, like, in touch with his emotions and be more open and be more forgiving and be more, you know, open-minded. And I love that aspect of their relationship. When it comes to Anthony and Lady Kate, I also like their relationship for a whole different reason because they're both hard-headed and they're both the eldest and they want to do what's best for everybody.
Except
for themselves. So, you know, that's also relatable in real life. So I like that about them too. So for me to pick, I can't really pick because I love them in their own different way. Personally, that's how I feel about it.
No, that's awesome. That's deep.
Yes, no, I
love this.
I'm kind of with you a little bit because I feel like what I like about the first season, I like the passionate and the craziness that they, even though at the beginning they were like, oh, I despise you.
Yeah.
You know, after that.
Well, there's a lot of despising though in the second one too.
But yes. A love.
But it was like, I'm going to fuck you.
But I think that's why I like the second one better.
I mean,
but again,
that was
again, and the second one is good because they have the same one, like, I despise you, uh-huh. but I'm not there, like, the chemistry, like, they were repelling from each other, you know, like, I want to kiss you so bad, but I won't do it regardless.
Yeah, yeah. That's the hard-headedness, you know, about them.
I love the making, like, the reason I really liked the season two is the making you wait for it, and I think it's, like, the tension, and, like, there's so many cool things that do that in season one and season two, but I think this is another reason why people are really drawn to this show is because we currently are living in a time period where it's just, like, immediate gratification yeah. for everything in terms of romance.
Yeah.
Like, you get to go all the way on your first date. Like, nobody's going to question if you do.
Forget about first dates. Like, and bitch, like, you're doing the whole run.
There's none of this exciting, like, and I'm sure if it was real life, like, being courted in that way is not as amazing as they make it look in Bridgerton. But like, of course, like, let us have that escape, right? Yeah, but, like, exactly. I think what's so cool about it is, like, we're so, like, we've had all this, like, instant gratification, like I already said. And so to watch something where you, like, you were waiting the entire season for them to just kiss is like, oh my God, just kiss. It's like, I love that. I love having to wait.
I agree. It makes things 10 times better.
Like the scene with the bee, when she gets stung by the bee.
Oh, that, yeah.
I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is the best Frisian yes. moment of all time.
Yes, we're all
I was like,
best.
The longest they can hold this off, the better. Like, I don't personally need the sex scenes. And I know there's probably a lot of people watching it who would disagree with me, like, we're yeah. all entitled to our personal opinion, but I just loved, like, get, like, just, like,
I agree.
The dying for it to happen.
I agree. It's like, you've never wanted a couple to be together so bad in your life. That's how I felt yes. in both seasons. Like, they're just meant to be with each other. Make it yeah. work. Like, that's how I feel as a viewer. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's the fun thing about each season. I feel like each season we're going to see from now on, you know, a new relationship develop, and I love to see what's in store for the future when mm-hmm. it comes to that.
It is, yeah.
So
I mean, Bridgerton has something that it makes you being relative to some of the characters.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
absolutely.
Going from Lady Whistledown, going to the Viscount, going yeah. to the Duke, like, all of them, there is something that you are like, oh, I totally get why he's doing that.
Yeah.
Or like even Daphne yeah. or Lady Kate, you yeah. know, like, it's like,
the way they
you can yeah. relate to them, and that's kind of some part of why people are enjoying this show absolutely. So yeah. much.
And absolutely. That's like what a lot of the actors in it have said, like, the fact that it offers us an escape from reality, which was so necessary because season one came out when COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And so everyone was wanting this feeling of, like, I want to go to another time. I want to escape. And I want to go to another time that not only is not really quite accurate,
yeah.
because it's like, that's what they're saying about, like, the fact that it gave the opportunity to rewrite
yeah.
that time period exactly. in a way where there wasn't, like, racism and there wasn't yeah. Like, they don't even, and some people have actually criticized this, but, like, they don't even really, like, show the social disparities between the economic classes. You don't yeah. really
you don't see
the poor people on the side of the road.
We saw it a little bit in season two with Eloise and the Paperboy.
Yeah, maybe yeah. that will get
and
brought
them,
up more.
I want them together. I want them together. Just saying. I'm saying that now. I want them together. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, let's go also into... this is Netflix's second biggest show.
Oh.
Whoa.
Is the first one Elite?
What's the first one?
No, the first one is Squid Games.
Oh.
Which is kind of crazy. But Bridgerton 2 uh-huh. is actually the second biggest show, huh. surpassing Bridgerton 1, which was the second one before Bridgerton
2. That's insane.
So, I mean, a Squid Game uh-huh. had 1.6 billion viewers.
I still haven't watched that one.
We still haven't watched.
I have watched it.
You watched it?
Wow.
Like one bit of it.
Okay.
And so I'm quiet over here because I've never watched. I mean, I did watch Bridgerton. I watched season one, episode one, going on episode two. Love it. I love it. Wow. And the more information you guys are, like, you know, saying and giving me, I'm, like, more excited to watch it.
I hope we didn't give away any.
Okay.
Like,
so well, now that we are here, how, because we were like, it's great that we three have seen it, but SP didn't see it. So we wanted to see that contrast of, like,
Emmy,
sorry. If Emmy wanted to see it, like, what did she thought about? Like, what's she going to be?
I love the costumes, the Everything. I want a freaking corset myself. I'm obsessed.
If you're watching, I'm wearing one right now.
Lady Ashley has her corset on, guys.
Obsessed. Love it. Yeah, I see the hype, and it does deserve the hype because it's so good.
You just have to watch one episode, and I think you're hooked. I literally started on a Monday, and I finished on a Friday. Season one and season two, guys. I mean, I was on a mission. So I was like, I cannot keep my eyes off the screen. Like, I need to freaking finish all of this. I need to know what happens. Like, I've never been so obsessed about a show in a long time, and it goes to show. But it deserves the hype. It deserves the hype.
It totally does.
It really does.
Yeah.
But going back to what you said, actually, I was, you know, scrolling Twitter, and people were like, first of all, people were doubting that season two would ever surpass season one. People love the Duke. I mean,
love the Duke.
I mean, so, he is the dreamy man. Sorry, guys.
hey, there's no competition there. But the fact that he wasn't even in season two, and the fact that season two did so well, I mean, the show, it just says a lot about the show.
It's the show.
That's my only complaint, is that he wasn't in it.
Low-key, I missed him. Like, at least a little bit of screen time.
I think they can get away with it in season two, but in season three, okay, so a little back history. There's, if you don't know, but most people probably do, the series is based off of Julia Quinn's series, and there's 8 books in the series, and each one is based off of one of the Bridgerton siblings. And so I feel like if they're going to center it around this one family, and like there's always like a few scenes here and there where it's the family hanging out, and like Daphne was in all those seasons
by herself,
minus Simon.
Yes.
And
yes,
I feel like, yeah, that season they could just be like, oh, he's gone on vacation. But how are they going to do that? Hopefully the show gets 8 seasons, I'm hoping. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, at some point, you're gonna be like, dude, where's the Duke? Like, come on.
They don't know if he's gonna actually come back, because I don't know if he wants to keep going.
He could just make a cameo.
I think it's just, you know, some people like what they do, like their job. Maybe some people don't, and we don't know what's his experience doing it.
Right.
And I think he loved it because it made him famous.
Yeah. Like, there's even people saying that he might be the next James Bond.
I think it still doesn't know if he's going to be in season 3. I think it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. And I think at the same time, it's kind of good to keep it a mystery, because if he appears, everybody's going to be so fucking happy.
Yeah, yes. That's true.
It's true.
Who knows? We don't know about.
It's kind of interesting that, like, yes, they're all very good actors and actresses, but you do feel like there's a tiny bit of them, their real selves, coming through, like the lady, the girl who plays Eloise.
Claudia Jesse.
I was reading somewhere, like, she has 0 social media accounts. Like, you can't find her anywhere. And I feel like that sounds like her character that she plays.
That sounds like Eloise, low-key.
Yeah, it does.
She's one of my really favorites.
You like Eloise? Yeah.
I like Eloise so much.
I like Eloise because she and P, a.k.a. Lady Whistledown. I mean, this is not a spoiler alert. Sorry. But just saying. But that's the new thing. This circles back to what we were talking about earlier, that they're so ahead of the game too. Like, they're all about like women empowerment. Like, they want to do something for themselves. They know that there's more than just marriage and just having kids. So that's the beauty about Eloise. Like, you can see like, oh, like that's like the woman nowadays now, like, mm-hmm. you know, like hunger and like, let's do it. Like, you know, that was a good point about Louise
the thing about Lady Whistledown.
Yeah.
They didn't know if they were going to show her in the first season or no.
Oh, really?
So it was actually a reshoot after the season was over.
Oh.
So after a couple months that they have done, they were done filming and everything, they call her to do an extra scene to reveal she was Lady Whistledown. So it wasn't part of the
feel
first.
I like they needed to do that.
I think they probably felt this, and then they dramatized it more in the second season.
I appreciate that they told me in the first season, because if they would have lagged it, I felt like it would have been another Gossip Girl. Just guessing.
Just like a
letdown.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe.
And I like that about it. Yeah. Tell me right away.
So, it was after. Uh-huh. Like, they didn't think it was going to happen, but it happened.
Yeah. I love it.
I feel like they do also, like, spend time, like, putting an emphasis on family, which I also really like.
Yeah.
Like, even though, like, the guys, the brothers have, like, you know, some things that the women can't do, whatever, and it's irritating. There's parts of their personality that can be irritating. There's still like this overriding like sense of family, and they're all like watching out for each other and they all care about each other, which is just nice. It's just for nice sure. and refreshing to see. I think everyone in a TV series kind of appreciates
sure. yeah.
that.
Yeah, for sure. I really like that too.
Yeah.
Which other character of the family did you guys want to talk about? One of my other favorites is...
The middle brother?
The middle brother, Benedict.
Benedict!
The artist. He's so funny.
I love how he's...
Hilarious.
Hilarious, but he's also so well around. I feel like I like him because he's like the most intellectual, but at the same time, the more dumb and the more like willing to do whatever.
He gives second born child syndrome, but at the same time, you said super intellectual and so like with the whole this goes to season two when he said the whole poem and like this is what you should talk about a lady like bro like where have you been Benedict like yeah. he showed up like
and when yes, he has that yes. like whatever that is the mushroom tea or something that is hilarious.
Oh, that was hilarious. He just did the over
that was awesome
that was
too.
So funny but yes yeah. he is another favorite. Benedict is another favorite.
I feel like I
hated that one mother for a while. What was her name again? The she's kind of evil. She's the one who
Lady
they're
Featherton.
Very. Is it Lady Pendleton?
Featherington.
Yes, Featherington.
Penelope's mom.
Penelope's mom.
And then
yeah.
at like I start to kind of like her in season two, and I feel apologetic almost for saying that, but like I like it how even with the like slightly more vindictive women, they still like give them like a sense of power, but like not always in an evil way. Even the queen sometimes has a little bad side, but you still kind of like her because like she still has like redeeming qualities.
Yes,
and you kind of see that with like Lady Featherington. I'm not gonna like verbally say it because I want Amelia to experience some surprise.
Thank you.
I like how she like ended up kind of being like for women, you know, and like yeah.
Circling back to that, when I saw that is when she spoke about her daughters. Like, I am a mother, and that's why I did what I did. And, like, she's protective, and that's, like, the family quality about her, the mother about her.
So that kind of shocked
me.
That's
where I softened her about her, too. I was like, okay, you're not all that bad.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's just, like, when you watch the show, you just get immersed into that war.
And it's so funny because this is the first time we talk about it as a group, and them talking about it with me, like describing the characters and describing the whole scene, is like
it's so fun.
You get it, like if you know like,
I feel like I was excited with him because like I already said, I've been obsessed with this with the Regency time period since I was, you know, like 10, 11, 12. Like I could, like, if anyone else out there is obsessed like me, you'll know who I'm talking about when I mentioned Georgette Heyer. She wrote like probably 30 or 40 books that take place in that time period. And so like I know like really weird facts, like how they used to stick on like different shaped moles on their face, like heart shape or star shape, and like how they would powder their wigs and how the guys would tie their cravats, and they named the way they would tie it like different names, like the waterfall or the conquistador, or like they had like names, and it was like the way they would fold their like cravat had a fashion
the
name.
Costume department should like, call you. That's all I know.
And, like, but this is like how obsessed I was, and like so it's just so fun to see it like visualized in a TV show.
That's so
and
fun.
Like I
That's
could nice. Geek out of, so about it for so hours, cool. but now I feel like because he likes the show, we can like talk about those weird things that before fun. He would have been like, "Are you gonna stop talking?"
right, exactly. I mean, it just goes to show, guys. You don't have to like that time period at all to enjoy this show.
Not at all.
It's good.
It's so good.
It's good.
It's well rounded and everywhere, and I think again, it ties to the thing that we were talking about, how it captivates every single emotion as well. You know, you get drama, you get romance, you get gossip, you get intellectual, you get like everything, a little bit
even
of something.
Like grief, like I feel like in season two, and I really liked it how grief. They did the flashbacks. Because like that really like just hit it more home. I don't know how you say it.
It make you connect to the character way deeper.
It's hard not to fall in love with the character when you see that. I mean, that grief, that's a big one in season two. I mean, you see Anthony in a whole different life, and you understand why he does what he does, and the why he feels the way he feels, and the why the way he says things, because
totally.
guys trauma. Like, he has trauma. Guy has been through lots of shit. So it just ties everything and why the family does the things they do.
Because in season one, he wasn't my favorite. Like, he was like, okay, he's another character.
Yeah, he's just
but
older
in season
brother.
Two, I was like,
obsessed.
I love
obsessed.
You.
Yeah. You know? Like, I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Like, in real life.
Yes.
Like,
And I really feel like the mother's character, like, got more developed, which was really cool. Because
that too.
I feel like that's, like, a Thank true Violet. Mother is, like, someone who just does not give up on you no matter how many times you, like, push her away.
Right.
So I do really feel like season one was extremely good, but I feel like there was a lot more character development and backstory. And just, like, explanations for why the characters were the way they were
exactly.
in season two.
Exactly.
So I'm curious, it seems like you maybe have more of an inkling than I do. Like, season three, which sibling do you think it's going to be about? Like, Eloise? Or what do you guys think?
It could be Eloise. I want to say it could be Penelope and Colin. But Colin, he, poor boy, he doesn't understand that the girl wants him so bad. But we'll see when that happens.
He's the dumbest one.
Like, Colin, come Sorry, on. Wake right. up, bruh. It could be Eloise, but I don't know.
Okay, so let me just tell you a little bit, maybe a little spoiler or not. Okay. This is what there is in the internet. Okay. I don't know. I haven't talked to the director. I haven't called him yet.
How dare you?
But so season one in the books is Daphne.
Yes.
Book number two. Is the Viscount. Mm-hmm. Book number three is Benedict.
It's Benedict's turn. Yeah.
So if it goes how
so
it's going.
So that's the middle sibling.
Uh-huh.
The
so if it's going how it's going to with the books, mm-hmm. like exactly how the Netflix series is going, mm-hmm. that should be it should be him.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it
too. And I think also it makes sense. Well, this is kind of interesting because, for example, the ages of the actors are actually higher than you think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, because when I was thinking of like how old are these kids, I was thinking like maybe they are 25, 23, around that age.
Right.
Penelope is 35, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. She is the youngest looking 35-year-old.
Eloise is also 34.
Yes.
The Viscount is also 35. Like 30. So it's like they are no. So the age in their faces are going to be changing dramatically very soon.
Yeah.
So they kind of have to keep in that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Even though you can do a lot with CGI, but I don't think that's the plan.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, they're playing characters who, like,
are
most
teenagers.
Girls, like, most the girls, like, came out, they called it coming out, like, or their, like, introduction into society when they would be of marriageable age or whatever. Usually when they were, like, 16.
15, 16.
Mm-hmm. So, like, 15, 16, that's crazy.
But that's probably
but the
what
guys,
I think.
The guys, it doesn't matter. Because back then, the guys could wait as long as they wanted to get married. It was the women who had to come out in the season. And if they didn't get picked, they were considered like hopeless. Like, they're never going to get married.
Yeah. Right. I
mean, they have this one season, like this tiny window when they're like 15, 16. That's it.
Yeah, those 6 months to be able to get married. And then that's
talk
it.
Talk about pressure. Yeah. Jeez.
Yes.
What a time.
But we'll see. We'll see what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. It should be Benedict, if would you follow in the books, but who knows? It could be Eloise, it could be, I don't know.
We don't know. Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
But whatever happens, I'm still excited.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna
watch. Down.
I'm so excited.
I believe they're going to start filming this summer. Mm. So then it's going to be released kind of like the same time the season two was released. Valentine's Day. No, yeah, Valentine's.
Oh,
February. February,
so
March.
Oh, and like, I know we're kind of like starting to wrap things up, but and you did a little research on this, but I think another reason why I'm really drawn to it, and I think other people are too, is like it's a way to see all of these like historical places that we probably won't get to go to all of them or go to anytime soon.
Exactly.
And like, I know that they, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about that, but like you get to go to Bath, London, York, like Hampton Court Palace, mm-hmm. St. James Palace. Mm-hmm. So like, it's really cool because you feel like you're getting to see like all these amazing places.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And most of them are actually real places. Mm-hmm. Like, they are historically, and they've been used in a couple of movies as well. Like, remember when you saw the pond in one of the scenes and you were and you were like, I've seen all these movies.
Pond
was from Pride and Prejudice, the BBC version.
Yeah, the one with Colin Firth when he's younger. Oh, my God. I used to watch that scene on repeat. It's like when he jumps into the pond with his white silk shirt and he gets wet. I know, it's like the Victorian like wet t-shirt contest for men. When I was like 15 and 16, I was like obsessed with Pride and Prejudice. But I recognized the pond like instantly. I was like, oh my God, that's the pond from Pride and Prejudice BBC circa like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. So
the girl's getting flashbacks.
I know. I'm like getting red right now just thinking about it. I'm like, oh,
oh my God. The other thing that they happened, for example, the white shirt scene, they also stole it from Pride and Prejudice. When the Viscount falls into the lake.
The pond.
I mean, it got every woman in the world who saw Twitter painted.
But that scene was stolen from the Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
So that
BBC
was
BBC version,
the,
though.
The BBC version, not the movie.
The one with Keira Knightley, the other one.
Mm-hmm. So
the 5-hour one. Sorry. Not to be mistaken.
After yeah. this podcast, then everyone's going to be Googling that scene. I can tell you that much.
And what was the other thing? For example, the Bridgerton house, mm-hmm. it is exactly how you can see it, but mm-hmm. all the, I forgot how it's called, the plants and all these things, I think most of that is CGI, most of that is fake. Okay. And the buildings that are next to it are also fake.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that building is by itself.
Right. Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. When you
That's
see
so
it in
cool.
real life.
Yeah. That's so,
so
cool.
So all of these things
so
are
cool.
fake.
Yeah.
The Featherington's house
yes.
is like super far from the Bridgerton's house, but in the TV show, it looks like they are in
across
the same,
the street,
like right next door.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that's also fake. The Bridgerton, the Featherington is also a castle that is like that. It has nothing
by
in
itself.
The next. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so it's a lot of things that are very interesting how they mm-hmm. tied it up to make it look more historically correct.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Duke's entrance is mm-hmm. actually the back side of the castle.
Mm. Oh.
If you look at it, it looks like a back entrance of a castle.
Yeah.
When you really look at the details of it,
yeah.
It's the back. Because mm-hmm. the front will have a huge grand entrance with a big, like when you see the big castles, like
yeah.
they actually have like this amazing door
right.
and something.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is because it's the back side of the castle. Because the front
cool.
was way too modern.
Oh. Oh, oh wow. Go figure.
So
go figure.
It's kind of like little details that they have tightened up, but it makes it amazing.
Right.
Go figure.
I also feel like we have to give a shout out to Jane Austen just because she's been like copied in a flattering way so many times. Like we talked about the scene we just talked about, but then also I knew exactly what was going to happen when Simon Ashley goes riding on the horse. I knew instantly. I was like, she's going to crash and like get injured, and then she's gonna get sick, and because that's what happens in *Sense and Sensibility*, which is a Jane Austen book. So I was like, I love like the parallels, but I think that's another reason why people like it is because like it feels a little
relatable.
Bit familiar. Yeah. Like it's like stories that are classics that a lot of people like. And then I also want totally like off on another tangent, but like, can we just talk about like how crazy that time period was with like you couldn't be alone with like someone in a room.
Yes.
But then, like,
yes.
if you look at the costumes, which we did research, those are quite accurate. Like, the corsets, their boobs are ginormously mm-hmm. pushed out. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like it. And so for, like, that juxtaposition between, like, being, like, practically naked and then you can't be alone with someone.
I wanted to give a
like,
note
what?
About that. The costume team, it takes 3 to 4 fittings for each mm-hmm. costume, and each costume has a set of gloves and shoes, and that's aside from the bling bling that they have on tune. You cannot ignore that. I feel like the Queen Elizabeth mm-hmm. gave a couple stones for them because it's incredible. Their
it
costumes,
is incredible.
It's like the details. It's out of this world. I mean, it looks
everything.
Great.
And even the hairdos. But like, I just thought, like, I kept watching
Wait,
it and being like, this
said
is
the
so bizarre.
I saw that Daphne's hair was like inspired by Audrey Hepburn.
Uh huh. Yes,
Audrey
it's inspired
Hepburn.
In other real characters.
I was like, oh my gosh!
Yeah,
I didn't
so
that.
Pretty. But yeah, I thought that was so ironic, like that they would dress that way. Because I feel like if you dress even now like that with your boobs out like that, like people are like, whoa, like she's a little racy. But like we're talking like you couldn't be alone in a room with a guy. Unless he was proposing to you.
Yeah.
Right, and
yeah.
so I just think that's like so
it's
bizarre and interesting.
Crazy.
It's an amazing show.
It is. So you guys so watch good. It. Watch it if you haven't watched it.
Please. I will definitely be watching that.
This is your sign. If you're listening to this, this is your sign.
Please. This is your moment.
It's your moment. And leave us a comment about like what you love the most.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But also give Netflix a little bit of hope for surviving. Yeah. Yes. Because Netflix is in a big of trouble right now. They stock everything. They are losing money. Yeah. Like they are pooping.
Yeah.
It's so weird because I feel like they were like the leaders, and then they're making great shows still. Like
they are making good shows. The problem is, and what I've been listening to a lot of people that know, is that they're saying the problem is that Netflix was the innovator. It was the disruptor of the industry 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. The problem is that they stopped innovating. Mm-hmm. And when you get in bigger players like Disney, Apple, Amazon, who have
to keep up.
Basically unlimited money,
yeah,
which they can lose. They can give, they can do Bridgerton, mm-hmm. losing money, losing mm-hmm. 100 million. Like Netflix mm-hmm. cannot really give them.
But I feel like they are still innovative because they are making shows like The Squid Game and La Casa de Papel, which was a foreign TV show that was number one in the United States for a long time.
It is. But I think when you see it compared to Disney Plus, that they got basically the same amount of subscribers in less than a year. It's like,
well, they have an unfair advantage because they have archives of Disney shows that people are going to watch for all time. Yeah, like you can't compete with that.
Yes, but that's the point. Like that's mm-hmm. why Netflix needs to either like make a million movies more so then they can compete. But it's almost impossible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what's going to happen with them. If they don't innovate in the next year or so, we probably won't see them again.
Mm. Or maybe they'll just get bought out by one of the other.
They could get bought out. By but probably Amazon or Apple.
It would be a shame, though, because I do feel like they have come out with at least 5 shows that have, like, changed history almost. I mean,
honestly.
Yes.
Honestly.
But,
like, yeah.
Who knows? I mean, at the same time, they are also trying to maybe put ads. People are not going to like ads on Netflix because that's what Netflix is not about.
Yeah, but they're probably just doing it because they financially are hurting.
Or they're going to raise the teen. Or like they were also talking about, you know how a lot of people share the password?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So they might actually going to take the shared password. It's like, we'll see what's going to happen. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't happen, but we'll see.
Well, what are we going to do if they fold before Bridgerton finishes?
I'm not going to be well. I'm not going to be well, guys.
I think that's something that will help them, and that's what they need. They need to keep making these shows that people are coming back.
I will not be okay, people.
No, I will not be well. I will not be well. I can tell you that much.
And they still have to, like, Outlander, because I think they were the ones.
I don't think they do Outlander.
No, that PBS, one was Stars, I think. Maybe?
Stars or PBS, I think.
I don't know. We'll find out. Alrighty.
Well,
all right.
Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Today's episode was a lot of fun to film. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, please subscribe, hit the bell button for notifications, leave us comments, share this.
Rate us.
Yeah, you can see what we're wearing if you watch the YouTube video. We all look really cute, you guys.
Share to your friends, family. Follow us and find us on Spotify, Amazon, Google.
Everywhere is Stitcher.
Yes.
Wherever. Every social media platform.
Yeah. We're
Pocket Cast, everywhere
podcast
we are.
Podcast platform. Yeah. That's what I
like the Facebook page. We also upload there. We're everywhere, guys. Just check us out. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere, even though we're nobody.
We're everywhere, even though we're nobody. I like it.
All right.
Until the
only
next
lady
episode,
whistle
guys.
Down knows who we are.
Bye, listeners.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys and gals. This was Nobody You Know. Literally. Remember to hit like and subscribe and leave us a comment. Have a question for the guys or a topic you'd love them to discuss? Get in touch. You can find us on all socials at Nobody You Know _podcast. See you next time.